Hello, this is the fifth lecture, September 23rd, for Math 4111. And we're now going to talk about sequences. In the past, we've talked about the real numbers and the complex numbers. Now we're going to get in there and do some analysis. So a sequence of real numbers is a function phi from the natural numbers into the real. Similarly, a sequence of complex numbers is a function phi from the natural numbers into the complexes. We often denote a sequence A from the natural numbers into the reals as A1, A2, comma, and so on, where you think of A1 as the image under phi of 1, and A2 is the image under phi of 2, and so on. We also denote this by brace AN, right brace, N equals 1 to infinity, or left parenthesis AN, right parenthesis, N equals 1 to infinity, and so on. The familiar sequence 1 plus 1 over n all to the power n from calculus is one that you've seen before. And the sequence cosine n pi over 3 plus I sine n pi over 3 is a sequence of complex numbers. A sequence may or may not have a clear pattern or formula. The ones I've shown you so far, the two examples I've shown you so far, do have a formula. But for example, consider the sequence of decimal digits of pi 3, 1, 4, 1, 5, 9, 2, 6, 5, 3, 5, 8. 9, 7, 9, 3, 2, 3, 8, 4, 6, 2, 6, 4, 3, 3, 8. There's no apparent pattern there, and the reason is because pi is irrational. And irrational numbers have the property that their decimal expansion shows no pattern. There's no repetitions. If the terms of a sequence an approach a fixed number as n goes to infinity, we say that the sequence has a limit. That's the intuitive idea, but we need a more rigorous definition of limit, and here it is. A sequence an of real or complex numbers converges to a real or complex number c, we call c the limit, if for each real number epsilon bigger than 0, there is a positive integer n, such that for all integers little n with little n bigger than capital N, we have absolute value an minus c less than epsilon. In this case, we say that c is the limit of the sequence an and that an is convergent, and we write limit an equals c, or an right arrow c as n goes to infinity. If a sequence does not converge to any number, then we say that the sequence diverges or is divergent. In the above definition, capital N depends on epsilon. Generally speaking, if you choose a smaller epsilon, you have to choose a larger n. Informally, we say that the limit of an equals c means that an can be made arbitrarily close to c as long as n is sufficiently large. So an abstract definition like this is best understood by looking at some examples. So let's look at this one. The limit as n goes to infinity of 1 divided by the square root of n. We claim that that limit is 0, and your intuition tells you that that's right because you can see that when n is very large, the square root of n is also very large, and 1 over the square root of n is very small. And so intuitively, anyway, it seems to tend to 0. But let's prove it rigorously using the definition. So let epsilon be bigger than 0. Observe that absolute value 1 over square root of n minus 0 is less than epsilon if and only if, just doing a little algebra here, n is bigger than 1 over epsilon squared. Let capital N be the greatest integer in 1 over epsilon squared plus 1. So those funny brackets there around the expression 1 over epsilon squared mean the greatest integer less than or equal to 1 over epsilon squared. Then for all integers little n with little n bigger than big N, we have 1 over the square root of n minus 0 has absolute value less than epsilon, just by a little high school algebra. And therefore, the limit as n goes to infinity of 1 over square root of n has been proved to be 0. So that's our first example of a rigorous proof of the convergence of a sequence. We say that a sequence an is bounded if there is a number capital N bigger than 0 such that absolute value an is less than or equal to m for all indexes little n. Example, show that the sequence an is minus 1 to the n plus 1 is bounded but divergent. So that's kind of interesting. Since obviously by the triangle inequality, the absolute value of an is less than or equal to 2 for every n, the sequence is bounded with bound 2. Assume that an converges to some number c. Let epsilon be a half, then if we're assuming that an converges to c, then there is an integer capital N bigger than 0, such that the absolute value of an minus c is less than epsilon, which is a half, for all little n bigger than capital N. Let little n be an even integer that's greater than capital N. And so for an even integer, as you can see, minus 1 to the n plus 1 is 2. Then 2 is equal to 2 absolute 2 minus 0, which is an minus an plus 1, because if n is even, then an is 2, and then n plus 1 is odd, and therefore an plus 1 is 0. And this is equal to the absolute value of an minus c minus an plus 1, where all we've done is add and subtract c. And now we apply the triangle inequality to get less than or equal to absolute an minus c plus absolute c minus an plus 1. And by hypothesis, since little n is larger than capital N, both of those expressions is less than epsilon. So we have epsilon plus epsilon, and that's a half plus a half, which is 1. So assuming that an converges to c, we have proved that 2 is less than 1. Well, that's obviously ridiculous. That's a contradiction. So the sequence an diverges. Theorem: let an be a convergent sequence, then the limit of the sequence an is unique, and the sequence is bounded. So this is important information. You certainly wouldn't want a sequence to have two different limits. That would be confusing and counterproductive. And it's very useful to know that a convergent sequence is bounded. So this is what we're going to prove. So suppose that the sequence an has two limits c and d, where c and d are distinct. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Then there is a positive integer capital N1, such that for all little n bigger than capital N1, absolute an minus c is less than epsilon. That just says that an converges to c. Similarly, there's a positive integer capital N2, such that for all little n bigger than capital N2, absolute an minus d is less than epsilon. That just says that an converges to d. Let j be an integer with j bigger than the maximum of capital N1, capital N2. Then the absolute value of c minus d equals the absolute value of c minus aj plus aj minus d, where we just added and subtracted aj, less than or equal to absolute c minus aj plus absolute aj minus d. And by hypothesis, each of those is less than epsilon equals 2 epsilon. So c minus, this is very strange. Absolute c minus d is less than 2 epsilon for every epsilon greater than 0. Well, that could only mean that c minus d is 0. Therefore, c equals d. So the limit is unique. Now, what about the boundedness? To show that the sequence an is bounded, let c equal the limit of an, and let epsilon be 1. Then there is a positive integer capital N, so for all little n bigger than capital N, we have an minus c less than 1. Hence, absolute an equals absolute an minus c plus c, less than or equal to absolute an minus c plus absolute c, which is less than 1 plus absolute c. Let m be the maximum of a1, absolute a1, absolute a2, dot, 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 absolute a capital N, comma 1 plus c. Then for any little n, absolute an is less than or equal to capital M for all little n. And that proves that the sequence is bounded. Now we will think about several fundamental properties of limits. Such properties are powerful tools for computing complicated limits. So theorem, suppose that the limit of aj is alpha and the limit of bj is beta, where alpha and beta are complex numbers, then for any constant c, the limit as j goes to infinity of c times aj is c times alpha. The limit as j goes to infinity of the quantity aj plus bj is alpha plus beta. The limit as j goes to infinity of the quantity aj times bj is alpha times beta. And if bj is not 0 for all j and beta is not 0, then the limit as j goes to infinity of aj over bj is alpha over beta. So let's prove 1. We may assume that c is not 0, because when c is equal to 0, both sides are 0, and there's nothing to prove. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Choose an integer capital N bigger than 0, so that for all j bigger than capital N, it holds that aj minus alpha is less than epsilon over absolute c. So instead of making things at less than epsilon, we're choosing that small number a little differently. We're choosing it to be epsilon over absolute c. For such j, we have that c the absolute value of c times aj minus c times alpha is absolute c times absolute aj minus alpha less than absolute c times epsilon over absolute c equals epsilon. And that proves that the limit of c times aj is c times alpha. Now we'll prove 2. Let epsilon be bigger than 0, because the limit as j goes to infinity of aj equals alpha, there's an integer n1 bigger than 0, so that absolute aj minus alpha is less than epsilon over 2 for all j bigger than capital N1. Similarly, there's an integer capital N2 such that absolute bj minus beta is less than epsilon over 2 for all j bigger than capital N2. Let capital N be the maximum of capital N1 and capital N2. Then for all j bigger than capital N, we have absolute aj plus bj minus alpha plus beta equals absolute aj minus alpha plus bj minus beta. That's just rearranging the terms a little bit. By the triangle inequality, this is less than or equal to absolute aj minus alpha plus absolute bj minus beta. And by construction, that's less than epsilon over 2 plus epsilon over 2 equals epsilon. And that proves statement 2, that the limit process for sequences respects sums. To prove 3, note that the sequence aj is bounded, which we proved just a few moments ago. So for some positive number capital M, absolute aj is less than m for every j. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Choose an integer capital N bigger than 0 so that absolute aj minus alpha is less than epsilon divided by the quantity 2 capital M plus 2 absolute beta when j is bigger than capital N. So again, instead of epsilon on the right-hand side, we've chosen a slightly different small number. Also choose an integer capital N tilde bigger than 0 such that little bj minus beta is less than epsilon divided by the quantity 2 capital M plus 2 absolute beta when j is bigger than N tilde. Then for all j bigger than the maximum of capital N tilde, we have the absolute value of aj bj minus alpha beta equals absolute aj bj minus aj beta plus aj beta minus alpha beta, where we have just added and subtracted aj beta. And just reorganizing a little bit, this equals absolute aj times bj minus beta plus aj minus alpha times beta. And by the triangle inequality, this is less than or equal to the absolute value of aj parenthesis bj minus beta unparenthesis absolute value plus absolute beta parenthesis aj minus alpha, right parenthesis absolute value. And by our construction, this is less than capital M times epsilon over 2m plus 2 absolute beta plus absolute beta times epsilon over 2 capital M plus 2 absolute beta. And this is less than or equal to epsilon over 2 plus epsilon over 2 equals epsilon. And that proves that the sequence aj bj converges to alpha beta. So 3 holds. In view of 3, to prove 4, it suffices to prove that the limit as j goes to infinity of 1 over g bj equals 1 over beta under the assumption that bj is not 0 for all j and beta is not 0. Because then we can get the limit of aj over bj by using the product property. Note that for any two complex numbers x and y, we have by the triangle inequality that absolute x equals absolute x plus y minus y less than or equal to absolute x plus y plus absolute y. Hence, absolute x plus y is bigger than or equal to absolute x minus absolute y. Since limit j goes to infinity bj equals beta is not 0, there's an integer n1 such that for all j bigger than n1, we have absolute bj minus beta is less than absolute beta over 2. And hence, absolute bj equals absolute beta plus bj minus beta bigger than or equal to absolute beta minus absolute bj minus beta. That's using the backward triangle inequality that we derived a moment ago. And that's less than beta over 2. Now let epsilon be bigger than 0. There's an integer n2 such that bj minus beta is less than beta squared over 2 epsilon for all j bigger than capital N2. Again, instead of using epsilon on the right-hand side, we've chosen a slightly different small number. It can be seen that for all j bigger than the maximum of capital N1, capital N2, we have absolute 1 over bj minus 1 over beta equals the quotient absolute bj minus beta divided by absolute beta bj, and that is certainly by our estimate of bj minus beta. This is certainly less than epsilon. Therefore, the limit as j goes to infinity of 1 over bj equals 1 over beta. And that proves our little theorem and ends our discussion for today. I'll see you next time.